So, my dear brothers and sisters, today's readings are rich with connection and meaning, and I won't be able to get into every part of it. But I do invite you. I'm going to have to come down. It's hard to look at you and the sun all at the same time. Okay, this gives me a little bit the better ability to. Okay. So as I was saying, there's a lot of depth of meaning in all of today's scriptures. I want to particularly focus on the first reading, and then also a little bit on the gospel. And then I'm going to send you home today with a little bit of a longer homework assignment than I would normally send you with. Because I want you to spend time praying with some of these things, especially in the season of Lent. We have probably heard the story of Abraham many, many, many times. And, you know, I think we can probably recount the story ourselves. But, you know, when you've heard a story a lot, you tend to just kind of think, I know what's going to happen, and so you stop listening. And you kind of miss the nuances of what's happening. And if you read the story of Abraham and you read it slow, and you read it noticing the nuances, the reading really takes a completely different, gives a completely different light. So, first of all, this story of Abraham is, as we all know, is a story of faith. Because God comes to Abraham and says, take your beloved son and sacrifice him. And this, my dear brothers and sisters, is a word of God for us, which I want to talk about a little bit later, which is listening to the voice of God. But so Abraham hears God's voice, and he takes Isaac, and he goes to the mountain. Now, I don't know if we really understand. This is the part, this is the nuance that I don't know if we really get. We have to go back in the story of Abraham a little bit to get it. When Abraham has Isaac, Abraham is not 25, 27, 28, 30, 35. Abraham is 80 when he has Isaac. Abraham is 80 years old when he has Isaac. So when it comes to Abraham going to the mountain with Isaac, when God tells Abraham, go to the mountain, Abraham, this is not like, oh, Isaac's like 6 months old and, you know, I'm going to carry him. No, 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 no. Isaac is like 15, 16, 17, and that 17 years old. So imagine this, and this kind of story tells us the depth of faith, not just for Abraham, but Isaac. Because Isaac at 17, 16, 17 years old, and his father is what? If Abraham has him when he's about 80, maybe a little older, Abraham's like 96. How hard would it be? Have you ever thought about this? I bet you never thought about this. I bet you never caught this nuance. How hard would it be for a 17-year-old to overpower a 96-year-old? Do you get my point of where I'm trying to go? Isaac could have very easily just like pushed his father over, like gave him a small tap, and he would have ended up on the floor. Now, I know we're in a very young community of people here, and I have known very spry 90-year-olds in this parish who probably could run circles around me. But even at that, I'm stronger than the most spry 92-year-old in the parish. I mean, it's just a reality. So what I'm trying to say is, this is not just a story of the faith of Abraham. It's a story of the faith of Isaac, because Isaac, who is not stupid, figures out, and in fact, if you read, we didn't hear the whole story, we will at Easter. Isaac, who is no dummy, says to his father as they're walking up the mountain, he says, "Hey, Dad, I see you have the wood. I see you have the knife. Where the heck is the ram to offer for sacrifice? Where's the animal?" And God has to say, and Abraham has to say to Isaac, God will provide. Abraham, Isaac is no dummy. So by now, by the time they get to the top of the mountain, Isaac would have figured it out. Daddy's going to offer me up for sacrifice. Isaac would have figured that out by now. But Isaac allows his father to tie him up. Isaac allows his father to put him on to put him on the place to be sacrificed. There is our Jewish brothers and sisters have a tradition that is called the Akedah, and it's a beautiful tradition that is not recounted in scriptures, but it is a recounting of the conversation that happened between Abraham and Isaac as they were getting ready to sacrifice. And I invite you, if you ever get a chance to read this tradition, but one of the part of the conversation is that now this is tradition, it's not in scripture, but this is tradition handed down from many, many thousands of years, that what Isaac would have said to his father when he figured out that he was the sacrifice, he was saying to his father, "Father, bind me and bind me fast." What he's saying is, "Make sure, Father, when you tie my hands and my feet, that you tie them strong enough so that I don't fight you. At the moment that I'm watching you raise the knife to sacrifice me, tie me up fast so that your sacrifice may be valid to God." Think of that for a second. That Abraham's own son said to him, "Make sure you do this right." I don't know if we've ever thought of scripture like that. Maybe you have. But it's because I want you to think of the vastness of when we say that Abraham and Isaac is a story of faith. We're not just saying, it's a story of faith. It's a story of faith. Deep faith, deep trust. Because Abraham, he takes his son to be sacrificed, believing that even if God makes him sacrifice his son, that God will bring him back from the dead. And so Abraham listens to the voice of God, and he follows through. He hears God. I want you to keep that sentence in your head. He hears, he listens to God. Keep it in the back of your head. Okay, so now we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark, and we come to the Transfiguration, which is a very interesting story, because Jesus takes... Sorry. I move things around. There we go. So Jesus takes with him James and John and goes up a mountain, and all of a sudden he's transfigured and appears there Moses and Elijah, and we see that the Old Testament is always fulfilled in the New Testament. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the story, why Moses and Elijah? Why does Moses and Elijah appear? Well, Moses and Elijah appear because Moses represents the law. God, in the Old Testament, God handed the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And Elijah is kind of is like the prince of prophets, if you want to say. He's like the prophet's prophet, you know what I mean, in Scripture. And so appears Moses and Elijah, which is a reference to the Old Testament of the law and the prophets. And they're conversing with Jesus, which is that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, of the law and the prophets. Now, I don't know if you've ever asked yourself, well, what is this whole thing in which, because James and John sees what's going on. They don't know really what to say. And so what they say is, can we build three booths? What they mean is, can we build three tents? Now, they say that because the transfiguration happens during the Jewish feast of booths. And what was that is that every year the Jewish people are called to come out of their home and build small tents and live in them for a period of a few days. And you know what God has, they do that as a reminder, again, to the Old Testament. When they were in the desert, they didn't have houses and stuff. And so God tells them, remember, you didn't always have this nice life. You know, you didn't always have a nice home and everything kind of ready for you. You had to live in tents. And so God asked them every year to go, I think they do it for 8 days. I think the Feast of Booths is 8 days or 7 days or 8 days. They go and they live in tents as a reminder of where they come from, to remember that they are a people that God has brought from slavery into freedom, and to give them a little bit of a reminder of humility. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is a word of God for us. We could all use that once in a while too in our lives. It's good to remember that everything we have is a reminder that everything we have is a gift, and not to forget that. My dear brothers and sisters, we can all use that constant reminder. Everything you have, everything I have, is a gift of God. And don't get comfortable. Don't take it for granted, because it's a gift. So that's always a good, mellowing reminder. Anyway, so this whole question that James and John does is just because they don't know what else to say. And so they say what they can think of. But the most important part, again, now go back to what I said when I was talking about the first reading, and that the most important thing was that Abraham listened to the voice of God. Now we have in Scripture God speaking. And now God only speaks twice in the Gospels. This is the second time. And this time God says, this is my beloved son, listen to him. The only other time God speaks in Scripture is when Jesus is baptized, and he says the same thing. This is my beloved son, listen to him. Now, what do you think Scripture is trying to get across to us? What do you think the Scripture is trying to transmit to us? This is my beloved son, listen to him. Listen to the voice of God. Lent is an opportunity for us to listen to God's voice in our lives. There is so much noise in our life. There is so many things going on and so much happening that it becomes very easy for us to listen to our own voice, to listen to every other voice, and to not hear the voice of God, to not be open to the voice of God. Lent is that opportunity. That's why that's why I hope we're taking, like I've said before, that we're taking advantage of, that we're taking that chance, that we are learning. We are using these 40 days to be open to God, because God has a plan for our life. Like Abraham, God has a plan for happiness. This is what the second reading, this is what the second reading was saying, is that God sent his son so that we could have, so that we can have life. My dear brothers and sisters, let us be, faith is not something that is far away from us. Faith is not something that is complicated. It's not, I've said this before too, it's not a long mathematical equation. Faith requires one thing, the ability to listen, to shut the voices in our own heads, and to listen to God, who wants one thing for us, to be happy. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, today, as we listen to this story of Abraham, I invite us to really have that faith, to have that openness to when God speaks in our lives. So, your homework, pens out. Pens or a good memory, or we'll post it. We're going to post it we'll post it on our website too. But okay, homework is two things. So it's going to take 17 minutes this week. Okay, I would like you to go and pray with Psalm 63. It's not very a very long psalm, but take it and listen to it. Read it. And then I'd like you to go home and pray again with the first reading. The only thing is, I'm going to have you go with the whole thing instead of just the part. So go home, and over this week, you can do Psalm 63 one day. You can do Abraham the next day. You can intertwine them. You can read them at the same time, but pray with them. So it's Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19. 22 verses 1 through 19. So you're going to read Psalm 63, you're going to read Genesis, and you're going to speak to the Lord and say, Lord, how can I have a better ability to listen to your voice?